February 5th, 2012, we're playing Tom Brady and the mighty New England Patriots. I'm playing for the Giants. It's 2012. It's Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis, Indiana. And I grew up 47 miles from there in Terre Haute, Indiana. Like, so like everybody, I spent like 14 grand in tickets, you know, like I think it cost me money to play in the game.
Yeah.
And so I just had so much of the people that I love there, and anybody that I couldn't have afford to buy tickets for, just we couldn't get enough tickets. There's 124 million people watching at home. And Ryan, I had the greatest game of my entire life. After my first punt, it was a safety. We sacked him in the end zone. I had three other punts. I set a Super Bowl record for most punts inside of the 10-yard line. Just incredible performance. And I remember going to the after party, and I think it was probably the first time. You know, we take pictures with the Lombardi trophy, my family and everything, and my dad's there. And I think it was probably the first time my parents have ever been to a rager before. You know, I mean, I'm talking about gorillas with their shirts off, just waving them around. Kenny Chesney was playing his private show for us. It was wild. So as all of that dies down, I go back to my room. I remember swiping my key card, walking into my hotel room, and I could tell the maid had come in and cleaned it. It smelled nice. It was quiet. I sat my bag down, and then I heard a noise up at the mirror, up at the window, and I'm on like the 17th floor. So I walk up and I look down, right? And it's like an ocean of people. It looked like Mardi Gras, 2 o'clock in the morning in Indianapolis, and people were down there partying. They look so happy. Taking selfies, and then I notice they don't even have on Giants jerseys. Like, just these are just like NFL fans.
Just partying.
I'm 17 flights up, and before I could like exhale the first big deep breath that I'd taken in, I just have this wave of depression come over me because I realized like I don't feel any different. Like, I just had the greatest game of my life and the biggest game of my life on a contract year. A month later, I signed a 5-year contract, and I knew it was coming, a 5-year contract for like $13 million. Just more from Indiana, man.
Yeah.
You know, like I never even dreamed of making that much money. Mm-hmm. I did dream about being a Super Bowl, but you would think that those things would change you.
Yeah.
Right. And I know that there's a lot of people who maybe even grew up in the church, or maybe you didn't. But man, you connect with like, dude, I thought my first million would like I could have some peace, right? And like, nah, maybe it's 5 million. And then you get to your 5 million. That wasn't it. Maybe it's a wife. Get that wife. Now, you know, maybe it's a wife, 10 million, and this certain neighborhood. Get there. You know what it is? It wasn't those things all along. It was a private jet. That's what it was. So this might be a little bit of an exaggeration for you, but for me, it was $1 million. It was like, make it into the NFL. It was like, get a six pack.
A Super Bowl is something you dream of forever.
Every little boy.
Yeah.
With their dad or a friend has imagined themselves catching a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Now, granted, I didn't catch a touchdown, I kicked the football, but I did it in an extraordinary fashion and extraordinary pressures for extraordinary stakes.
Yep.
It couldn't have gone any better. And I just remember as this wave of depression came over me, I realized that there was nothing, Ryan, that was inside of the National Football League, pro sports, or probably money that was going to fix this hole that I had in me, because this hole was a God-sized hole. And so right then I knew that after I signed this contract, I was only going to play long enough for me to like build up a financial cushion to like start a new life doing what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. Cause that's gotta be why I feel this way. So I played 3 years of a 5-year contract, retired out of nowhere. My wife, my coaches, my mentor, my dad, they're like, what are you doing? It's 6 months of work. All you do is kick a ball. I'm like,
you got the easiest job.
Yeah. Right. And I'm like, I just feel like I'm not supposed to be here. So we retired. I went out to San Diego, California. And this is where like my life, because I always grew up in church, Ryan, like,
yeah,
but it was a church where we kind of talked about it off air before we got on here. Like, it was like a stand up, sit down. Like, if you talk during church, like, get smacked in the back of the head. And I had like a wonderful dad, but old school, you know? And I used to get kicked out of Sunday school. And I say those things to give you context for like what kind of church I grew up. And when I went to the NFL, I play football. I was cashing checks on Sunday. I wasn't going to church. And honestly, I wasn't interested in it. And I'll say those things for like bravado. That's where my ego was, right? So I retired from the NFL. I worked in for ESPN in New York for a year and a half, super unfulfilled with that. Then we moved to San Diego. Within 2 weeks of us being in San Diego, I had a friend. His name is Ash Gandahari. He goes, hey, he's like, I think you and your family should come to my church with us Sunday. And I knew what was wrong in me. It was a God thing. But like every time that I, my view of God was like a punisher, right? Like if I make a mistake, I'm going to pay the consequences. And I believe a lot of us, we draw our picture of God first from our fathers, right? So if you're listening to this and maybe your father wasn't there, chances are that you have a view of God that he's not going to be there for you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I just use that as an example. But for me, my dad was very firm and very fair, and there were consequences. I have a great relationship with my dad, so I don't want people to think I'm dishonoring him. And he's very comfortable with me talking about this, but he was very firm and he was very fair, and there were consequences if you made mistakes. Mm-hmm. He was very consistent. And so for me, my view of God is if I make mistakes, there's going to be consequences. And so you know what I did? I didn't bring my problems to God. I didn't bring my mistakes to God because I noticed when I brought them to my dad, I'm like, if I brought them, I still got punished, man. You know? So I say those things to say, I get this invitation to this church, Ryan. And I remember showing up to the church. It's called Awaken, and it's in San Diego. I remember walking into this church, and I showed up 5 minutes late on purpose because I don't want people to recognize me. And plus, I didn't want to meet those like super cheerful people at the, you know what I mean? You know, the greeters, you know what I'm talking about. So I wanted to circumvent the happy people and just slip in, not be noticed, and like, just check this thing out because I needed help in my marriage, man. I needed help. And I was taking Adderall to keep up with what it required as an entrepreneur. I was smoking weed to come down at night, and I was taking chewing up Percocet pills when I was really sad and lonely. Like I was a freaking mess, dude. So like I needed to get in there because I needed something. And I remember walking in, Ryan, and like feeling an energy. And I look around and there's like all these young, like handsome people, and they got their hands raised up and they're not worried about what people to the right or to the left are doing. And they're freaking crying. And I feel like there's like a thickness of atmosphere in there. And I'm like, this is weird. So I like walked up to the far left corner, Ryan. And I sit there and I just with my wife, and we're just watching these people just spill themselves out. I'm like, this is bizarre, but like strangely exciting to watch because they're not doing it for people to see. And I can plainly see this, people on their knees. It was crazy, but this is just like a normal Sunday service. It wasn't like, you know, so we watched for like two more worship songs. And then the pastor comes out, his name's Dr. Matt Hubbard. And he comes out and he's speaking into the microphone for maybe 60 seconds. And then he pauses and he looks up in the left corner in the darkness of the left corner. And he goes, hey, you, he said, God wants me to tell you right now that you've been gone for a really long time. And what's broken in you is going to get healed. And then he just started prophesying. And as he was saying that, I turned around, Ryan, to see who he was talking to. Mm-hmm. There wasn't nothing behind me, bro, but a wall. Mm. And so I'm sitting here. I slipped into this church to try to sneak in, not be noticed. And I was going to leave 5 minutes early. And all of a sudden, I'm in a church of like 400 people and the spotlight just goes. And like, I felt like God pinned me down. He was speaking to me. But still in my mind, Ryan, I'm like, maybe somebody noticed me and like text him. Something's going on. Like I didn't. I was skeptical. So I said, you know what? Like, I'm on the brink of getting a divorce and I'm making like all this money with this supplement company, but I'm so unhappy. I'm unhealthy. Like, my relationship with my son is busted. Like, maybe this really is God. So I continued to bring my family back. And about 2 months later, my friend Nick Unsworth invited me to a men's conference, and it's called Emerge.
I met Nick about 2 months ago.
Nick is one of my best buds, man. I love him. I honor him. That's why I share his name every time I share this story. And Nick said, hey, I think you should be on my team for Emerge. And I'm like, what's Emerge? He's like, oh, we like do tug of war and all these different games. He's like, bro, you would be an upgrade on our team. I'm like, all right, man, I'll go. And I had shared with Nick some of the stuff that I was dealing with, you know, just breaking lust off and, you know, just like memories from when I was a kid. And I remember getting special permission for my 11-year-old son, and him and I were having a ton of friction together, but I got special permission to bring him because it was 13 and up. So I pull up to Emerge, and it's in the middle of the desert in Southern California. And the first thing they give you, Ryan, is this 2x4. It's got two holes drilled in it and a string on it. They hand it to you and they give you a Sharpie marker. And they did that for me. They did that for my son, and everybody did it. And they said, I want you to go spend 15 minutes alone with God. And I want you to write down everything on this burden board that you walked into the desert with that you want God to take away. Ryan, I freaking tattooed that thing, man. I mean, I wrote down porn, pills, worthiness, imposter syndrome, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, lust, greed, like just everything about myself that like I hated, right? Because here's the deal. I was 36 years old. I'm 41 at the time. I was 36 years old. I hadn't been proud of myself a day in my life.
Wow.
You know, like shame and guilt, like that's heavy stuff to carry, right?